If you read the marquee coming in, and I know that one brother did, then you probably knew where we were going this morning. The Lord has led me to at least conclude this first chapter of the book of Matthew. After we had looked at pedigree of the king, and this section, verses 18 through the end of the chapter, will deal with the birth of Jesus, the Christ, Emmanuel. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or was in this manner. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, or commanded him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Often, the birth of Jesus Christ is referred to as the incarnation of Christ. What do we mean by the incarnation? Well, simply taking on him flesh, becoming a human being. Taking flesh and blood on him. As we think about this, it is mysterious. The incarnation of deity, of God, would be mysterious. And there would be a tendency on our part sometimes to belabor the point, or to dwell on it in thought, and try to make more of it than what is there. We ought not to try to dig too deep. We ought not to try to dig deeper than that which is revealed to us in Scripture concerning the incarnation, the birth of deity. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29 tells us that the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But that which is revealed belong unto us and to our children. That is, that which is here belongs to us. It's for us to know. Why? That we might do every word of the book. Why we ought not to ponder it too long and to give too much thought into it other than what is we see in Scripture. We ought always to praise it. We ought always to adore it. We cannot fully know that a child is, how a child is formed in the womb. How bones are formed in the womb. My wife and I had a doctor tell us years ago that every birth, every conception is a miracle. And when you learn the human body and the body of a woman and so forth, it's a miracle that seed would even conceive. Because the immune defenses that are there attacks the invader. It's a wonder that they would even conceive. All that shows us that conception is a gift from God, and it is a gift from God to go through the period of what we call pregnancy and deliver is a gift from God. David, the psalmist in Psalms 139, in verses 13 through 15, 16, say it like this: For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eye did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And you think, and about all the advancements that God has given us into the birth and conception and what goes on, and even some of the things they're able to do on the child while still in the womb. And yet, every conception, every birth is a miracle. That is, it's of God, and man can't fully explain it, can't fully know it. And while the psalmist was writing, I believe, no doubt about this human body and the fact that we are one fearfully and wonderfully conceived in our mother's womb, and we grow and we'll get born and brought forth and we're made above all God's creation. I believe that in some way this has reference to a prophetic note to the birth of deity, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage of Scripture, verses 18 through 25 of the first chapter of Matthew, there are some things we want to note this morning. And for time's sake, we'll be hurrying through them. But first of all is Mary's espousal to Joseph in verse 18. Mary, the mother of our Lord. And he specifies his mother, Mary. Was a spouse to Joseph. She was the mother of our Lord and Savior. She was betrothed to Joseph, not Joseph, his father. For he wasn't his father. She was betrothed, she was espoused to Joseph. The espousal, the betrothal, the marriage had not been solemnized. It had not been consummated. But it was under contract. That is, the purpose of marriage had been declared God so willing. Mary and Joseph were going to come together at the end of the espousal period and cohabit together and know one another. The Jews say the contract period, the period of espousal, the period of betrothal was about a year. That means anything. And at the end of such time, then they came together and cohabited together. They had not yet come together, and that phrase come together means they had not yet cohabited together as man and wife, although they were known as husband and wife. During the espousal period, we would call it the period of engagement. Technically, if you were an Israelite, a Jew, you were considered husband and wife the moment you entered into that agreement to become husband and wife. There's a significance, I believe, in this. That Christ was born of a virgin, but he was born of a betrothed virgin. And by so doing, is respecting the state of marriage. Whom he had created, whom God had ordained in Genesis chapter 2. And verses 21 and 22. God created woman out of the side of Adam. And that verse there, verse 22, tells us, and God brought her unto Adam. He gave her to Adam to be his wife. God ordained. And he said, so then he said in Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 4, he said, marriage is honorable in all. All marriages are honorable. That is, they are God-honoring because God sanctioned it. God ordained it. God gave it to man and to woman to be husband. And I emphasize to man and woman to be husband and wife. No other way. Not man and man, not woman and woman. Contrary to what our world tells us today. And that's not hate speech, that's Bible speech. Jesus, being born of a virgin, a betrothed virgin, protects Mary's good name. She was a virgin. And she was a woman of virtue, even though she was poor. She was a woman of virtue. And she had a good name. The second thing we want to notice is her divine conception in verse 18. This conception was not a normal conception. It was divine conception. Before Joseph and Mary came together, before they knew one another in a sexual manner, Mary was found to be with child. Well, how soon was Mary found to be with child? How soon after she became pregnant was she found to be with child? Well, if you turn with me to the book of Luke, in chapter 1, the book of Luke in chapter 1, and we're going to take up and read two verses, verses 39 and verse 40. And this is immediately following the angel Gabriel, angel of the Lord, revealing to Mary that she was going to be with child of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost came upon her, and she was with child. And it says in verse 39, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth." So immediately upon conception, before anyone else other than Mary knew about it, she went to her cousin's house, Elizabeth. And, of course, you know the story. She greeted her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, and John the Baptist leaped in her womb. And she was filled with the Holy Ghost. And recognized Mary as the mother of her Lord, Jesus Christ. So she was visiting Mary, or Elizabeth, and after she returned home, Joseph found her to be with child. Well, when I go to visit someone, I don't stay there. I mean, how long does it take for you to find a woman to be with child? Well, if you didn't know it, about 3 months, wouldn't it? Well, Mary visited her cousin Elizabeth for 3 months. She visited her cousin Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant, until after John the Baptist was born. Look with me at verses 56. "And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousin, Mary, heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her." So Mary returns home and she's 3 months pregnant. Well, she's got a little pouch. And Joseph sees that Mary was with child. Now, Mary knew that her conception was of divine origin. The angel Gabriel had told us so, and if you back up in verses 26 through 38 of the first chapter of the book of Luke, and you'll see that it was the angel Gabriel appeared unto her and told her and revealed all that to her. And so she knew that. But how was she going to prove that? How was she going to prove that she didn't have an illicit affair with someone. Pretty difficult, huh? Knowing in our heart that it was of the Holy Ghost. Well, that brings us to the next point, which we see in verse 19 of chapter 1 of Matthew. And that is Joseph's dilemma. Joseph's dilemma. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. What was he going to do? What was he going to do about this woman whom he was espoused to that is pregnant? One whom he thought was a good and honorable woman. Well, the point which he was inclined to avoid was because that he was a just man. Did you get that? He was a just man. He was a fair man. He was a holy man and not impetuous and a man. He would have been tended towards mercy and being merciful. He was determined not to make her a public example. Well, what does that mean, make her a public example? Well, it would involve bringing her before the people and stoning her, putting her to death. He didn't know who the father was, but he could tell that Mary had done that, and he wasn't willing to do that. He wanted to exercise mercy. He wanted to have compassion upon her. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verses 23 and 24 tell us what a woman that is betrothed to a man, espoused to a man, and she goes into the city and she lies with another man, doesn't call out that she's being raped or whatever, that they're to take her and the man and her husband. It tells us there in Deuteronomy, her husband is to bring her before the people and they're to cast stones and stone them. They're just betrothed, they're just a spouse, but notice, they're considered husband and wife. The minute they enter into that contract, even though they haven't consummated the marriage, they're husband and wife. Well, we could learn by Joseph's example here, could we not? We could learn in the example and the display of gentleness, of kindness, the exercise of compassion towards those who sin. Could we not? Jesus put it like this: let he that is without sin cast the first stone. You see, and we're casting stones all the time. People who sin. Jesus said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Well, secondly, here is the means that Joseph employed for avoiding this important point. He was of a tender mind to privately divorce her. Put her away. Divorce her. In an effort to keep it as quiet as possible and let as few people as possible know about it. He was of a mind to conceal her sin. To cover her sin. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12 tells us that love covereth all sins. Love covereth all sins. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8 says, and above all these things, have fervent charity, have stretched out charity among yourselves. For charity, agape, love, shall cover the multitude of sins. It conceals, it hides, it doesn't reveal people's sins. Fourth point that we want to notice in this passage of Scripture is found in verses 20 through 21. Well, Joseph's sin dilemma. But Joseph is divinely relieved of this dilemma. Because he wasn't impetuous and got to do it right now. But while he thought on these things, while he labored the point of what to do, the angel of the Lord, in verses 20 and 21, appeared unto him. Now, I believe it was the angel Gabriel. The same angel that appeared to Mary and revealed to Mary that she was going to be with child. I believe it was the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. And Matthew just calls it the angel of the Lord. And he is instructed to don't fear. Don't fear to take Mary to be your wife. To take her unto you and cohabit with her. He's instructed to proceed with the marriage. The angel of the Lord told him not to be afraid to take unto him his wife. Notice he said, Mary, notice that in verse 20, that he said, Mary thy wife. They just espoused. They just betrothed. But they are her husband and wife. Don't be afraid to take Mary thy wife. She is already considered to be his wife. Also, he's informed that the conception is divine. He said, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It's of the Holy Spirit. She had conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by natural means, that is, a man and a woman, but by the Holy Spirit. And she's going to bring forth the Savior in verse 21. That's what it said. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus. It is of Hebrew origin and literally means Jehovah is salvation. Jesus is Savior. Now, Jesus is the same name of Hebrew origin. It's the same name as Joshua in the Old Testament. As is determined by two passages of Scriptures in the New Testament. Acts chapter 7 and verse 45. Stephen was preaching. It was time when he concluded, they stoned him because they hated what he was saying. But he said this in verse 45 of the 7th chapter. He said, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles. He's talking about Joshua bringing them into the land of promise. He's talking about Joshua bringing them into the land of Canaan. And he says Jesus here, which is the Greek translated, Jesus, which is the Greek word for Joshua. whom God drave out before His face of our fathers. Also, we have it in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 4, and verse 8, it says, "For if Jesus had given them rest," what He's talking about, Joshua, when they went into the land, if Joshua had given them rest, but Joshua didn't give them rest. You see? But it's, in the Greek, it was Jesus, if Jesus had given them rest. So we have two New Testament passages of Scripture attesting to the fact that Jesus, same word as Joshua, and in the Greek is used interchangeably with the Hebrew Joshua. Now, there were two Joshuas in the Old Testament that were illustrations of Jesus. Joshua, who led Israel into the land as their captain. Captain of the Lord's army. Taking them in to possess the land. And Joshua, who was their high priest after the captivity. Zechariah, chapter 6, in verses 11 and 12. "Then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest." Not that Josedek is the high priest, but Joshua is the high priest, and therefore they set the crowns upon Joshua's head, the priestly crowns, "and speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." They're giving you reverence to the fact that this Joshua, the high priest, is a type of the branch who is whom? Jesus Christ. Well, what do we have by these two illustrations of Joshua? Well, we have Joshua the captain of the Lord's army, and we have Joshua who is the high priest. Jesus the Christ is both captain of our salvation and high priest of our profession. Look with me at the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in chapter 2. And verse 10. "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Jesus Christ here is known as the captain of our salvation. But He's also known as the high priest of our profession in chapter 3 and verse 1. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Now, as considered apostle, that is, he was ambassador sent by the Father, and a high priest, he's pleading our cause with God. You see, the high priest. Function of the high priest. Now, moving on. The reason for the name Jesus. Well, our verse tells us, "For he shall save his people from their sins." Not just Israelites, but Gentiles as well. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many, Jew and Gentile, as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." John chapter 6 and verse 37, Jesus said, "All that the Father hath given me, Jew and Gentile, shall come to me, and Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, he said. In the book of John, chapter 17, in the 17th chapter there of John, Jesus prayed for them that the Father gave him. All that the Father gave him, he prayed for, Jew and Gentile. You see, so he came to save his people, Jew and Gentile, from their sins. Then fifthly, in verses 22 and 23, we have the fulfillment of prophecy, the fulfillment of Scripture, the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah, the sign given, which was the fulfillment of prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 said, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. A sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The birth of Jesus Christ was that promise of sign which God gave to King Ahaz. And He gave to, He said, hear, O house of David. He's speaking to the house of David. He's speaking specifically concerning Jesus the Christ. He's speaking of Him being Emmanuel, born of a virgin. And that is the sign given. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. This is the sign. And that of the house of David, you see. The Old Testament deliverances wrought by God were types and figures of the great salvation that would be wrought by Jesus Christ. As you read through the Old Testament, you see God, Jehovah, delivering Israel time and time again, delivering them and delivering them. It's a type, it's a picture of the salvation that Jesus is going to provide for His people. The truth provided for this sign. What is the truth provided for by this sign? Of behold, a virgin shall conceive. Well, the truth is that He is Emmanuel. He's not man. He's God. He's God with us. Do you get that? He is the Son of God. And they shall call His name Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. Now, the people of Israel had God with them in types and shadows dwelling between the cherubims. But never so as when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among them. And dwelt amongst us. This truth, attesting that Jesus is perfect man, as well as perfect God, and He is perfect God, as well as perfect man. Jesus is Emmanuel. God with us. As a man, the man Jesus, the Christ, the anointed, the appointed one, He became weary. He became hungry. He became thirsty. He wept. He felt pain. He even faced the temptations of Satan, yet without sin. He was in all points tempted, like as we. And that is a man. As God, He knew men's hearts and thoughts. He had power over the devils. He worked miracles just by speaking a word. Remember the man's son who was healed? And Jesus spoke the word. He said, your son liveth. Well, I would have thought you'd have come to my house and done some great thing. No. And the man on his way home, he talked to some people on the way, and your son's alive, your son's alive. And he asked him what hour of the day it was, and it was the exact day and hour that Jesus said, your son liveth. Just by the word of his power. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, I and my Father are one. Verse 24, we see the sixth point. Well, we see Joseph's obedience. Joseph rose out of sleep and he obeyed. He took unto him Mary, his wife. Brings us to the seventh point in verse 25, which is the fulfillment of divine promise. And it makes a point to let us know that while Joseph had taken unto him Mary, his wife, that is, they came together, they cohabited together, but he knew her not. He didn't know her sexually, as a man and a woman know each other, until after that she had brought forth her firstborn son. Christ was the firstborn. Oh, the firstborn among many brethren. And Joseph, named the holy child, Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Yes, he is the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 33 and verse 10, 16 says, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Righteousness. And of course, that's prophetic of when he's sitting on his throne in glory, the new Jerusalem, the Lord our righteousness. No need of the sun, moon, and stars, for he is the light of the city and of the whole world, of the saved. Shall we stand? And have a song in closing, Brother Mike.